Hafa day, and welcome to Harvest Echoes from Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Since our founding in 1975, pastors, evangelists, and missionaries have traveled from all over the world to Guam to speak to our people, preaching and teaching the Word of God. We're providing you access to this rich archive of sermons and lessons on Harvest Echoes. Our mission is to help people develop a heart for God. These messages, presented in conferences and special services at Harvest, seek to point you toward the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. Today, a message from Pastor John Zimmer. It was presented in August of 2012. The title of the message, Trusting God.
Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, and as you turn there, I'm going to tell you a little story. When we came to Palau, we brought a small aluminum canoe that one of the church members at Brookside gave us. And so I kind of learned how to navigate a little bit with one of the Palauan guys, showed me how to go around, and we enjoyed that and loved just anytime we could go out on the water and be with the guys or take my family. And one day as we were ministering to the families there in Palau, this American couple came, we met, they were living at the waterfront villa, a place nearby where we were staying. And he's a sort of a philanthropist working with the conservation, and she was a dermatologist, American couple with three little boys, our girl's age. And we became very close friends with them, just trying to lead them to Christ. And they had actually had a boat that was like 23-foot boat, and they would take our family out, and we had a great time with them. And before they left, they said, "Would you like to have our boat? Would you like to buy our boat?" And I said, "There's no way I could buy your boat. I'm not here for that purpose." And he was like, "Well, just think about it." And I said, "Well, I know we can't afford it." So that was it. Well, a little while later, he said, "Hey, John, just be looking for something in the mail." And he had, I guess, through some trust fund, given me the amount of money for the boat, and said, and came to me a week later and said, "Hey, John, are you interested in the boat?" And I looked at him and I said, "Yeah." And so anyway, we wound up with this boat that we learned how to enjoy using. It's a little bit upgrade from the aluminum canoe. But the first time I took it out, first time navigating it, we were getting ready to, Dr. Wood had come over to do a camp. He was planning to come in the week after, and I took some of the supplies out to this little island called Necco Island. It's about 30 to 45 minute boat ride, and I didn't really know how to get there. I knew how to go around our area, but not far. And so Charlie, Josephine's dad, was going to be leading the way. And so we loaded everything up, and I got in the into the boat, and John Clapp, my teammate, and I, and two Palauan guys got in there, and we started out. And we were looking for Charlie, and we couldn't find him. So we're looking around, and then I just knew that you go out the lighthouse and turn. So I started going toward the lighthouse and started turning. And as I got past the mouth of the, it's like a big raging channel, but I got past it, it was kind of calm. As soon as I got outside of the channel, the waves got huge. And again, I've really never driven a boat. I had a little canoe that I knew how to drive like this, but not a boat. So the waves got huge, like the size of the boat. We're up like this and then coming down. And I literally thought we were gonna die. This big fishing vessel came alongside of us, so I couldn't turn to cut the waves like this. And so I was literally going straight up and down, and it was the most frightening thing. And so John and I began to sing Soakul Kmeidrakau, which means it's the song that, what is it? Nearer My God to Thee. We're singing that like it's our death song, and we're crying out to God. And it was a frightening thing. And I remember just thinking, wow, this is, I don't want to die like this. And but we made it through it. And when we finally got to the island, Charlie and the other group was there, and they were waiting for us. And they said, "Where did you go?" And we said, "We were looking for you." And they said, "No, we went the back way. You're not, the channel was too rough for you to go out." And we didn't know. So God's protection was on us. But you know, as I was thinking about that, I thought about another experience I had in the big waves. I was with a really veteran fisherman, and he took me out, and I got on the boat with him, and we went through, and we were fishing along, and all of a sudden, we came to a really, really rough place. His boat was a little bit smaller than mine, and the waves were much bigger. And this guy went straight into the waves and knew how to navigate them, and I wasn't one bit afraid. And I thought about the two comparisons. Here's one where I'm the driver, and I don't really know what I'm doing, and I'm freaking out. The waves are big, but not huge, but enough to really hurt us. And I was scared to death. But when I was with the veteran fisherman who knew what he was doing and got into the big waves and just knew exactly what to do, I didn't have any fear. I'm fishing along and enjoying it. And I thought, you know, that's exactly the way life is. If we learn how to trust our God in the middle of those big waves in our life, we can get through just about anything. But if we're trusting in ourselves, relying on our own abilities and our own knowledge and experience, we are going to wind up panicking. And Philippians chapter 1, really the theme that we're going to look at tonight is when I learn to trust God, it gives me a joyful heart. And in this particular book, Paul is writing from prison. He's writing this message to the church at Philippi. He's writing this message and telling them, hey, you can have joy in the middle of all of this stuff going on in your life. And Paul was speaking from experience. And so as we get into this, let's read verses 1 through 11, and then we're going to pray, and we'll jump right into it. It says, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's pray and we'll jump into it. Lord God, I want to thank you that you are our guide and our shepherd. You care about us. You love us. And you've given us every reason to have joy, even in the middle of trials and difficulties in our life. Help us learn from these words that Paul spoke several thousand years ago that we could learn more of exactly what it takes to have that joy through those trials. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity we have to open your word. Now help us, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. When I think about what God has done, it produces joy. And I want to emphasize what God has done. Paul, in these words, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's looking back and he's thinking of the things that God has already done. And one of the keys that really unlocks joy in the middle of the pressure and the weight of life when you're feeling discouraged or frustrated or bad thoughts, bad memories have come, is to look back at what God has done. It's so good to sit back and look. Anytime that God is at work, so is Satan. You can mark it down. You know that God is at work in Spirit Week this week. And so you can guarantee that there's going to also be Satan at work. You find that the times when you're growing in the Lord are the times when the opposition is also coming at you. Or when you start to see God use you as a family, all of a sudden the attacks of Satan come. You've seen it if you've walked with God. But listen, don't get stuck on the problems. When the problems come your way, when people fail you, or they fail God, or you fail, you feel so discouraged, don't quit. Don't lose heart. Look to God. This is really one of those things that I would say, if you could boil it all down, what has kept you on the field this long, on the mission field, I would say learning to look back at what God has done, learning what Paul said here, because it's so easy to get your eyes off of what God is doing in the middle of it. You know, you get discouraged, you feel like you've failed, and maybe you have, and at times you just feel like quitting. And I like to go back and think about some things that God has done. I think about Edwin, a man at our church who about 5 years ago understood what it was to be forgiven for his sin. And he had some things in his life that were so heavy, but when he understood that Jesus could forgive his sin, he bowed his head and he trusted Christ and became a new man. Edwin is a joy as I think about him. He's not perfect. He goes through the rough waters just like all of us, but Edwin is truly a child of God. I think about another guy, Mike. Mike, who was hopelessly going through his life without any direction and didn't have any hope for his life. And yet when he heard about the hope of Jesus, put his faith in Christ. Again, Mike's not perfect, and it little by little God is working in him, but he's another one that I can look back on and say, Lord, thank you. Even though this discouraged me, this frustrated me, thank you. I can look back. I want to encourage you. When you get to that point where you're feeling the waves getting bigger, look back at something God has done in your life. And that's why it's good at times to even journal it, write it down when you see God do something. God is at work, but we sometimes miss the excitement because we're so focused on that problem in our life. And we get stuck in that rut of negative thinking, and we're focused on all the problems. And instead, we can look back and see what God has done, and we can move forward with the joy that God can give us. Don't let Satan discourage you about yourself or even about your church. Are we perfect? Is Harvest perfect? No. No place is perfect. Omagulela Bibirabelao is not perfect. Nothing is perfect in this world, but you can focus on one who is, and you can focus on what he's doing. So that was the first one. I look back at what he has done. Second, when I think about what God is doing, it produces joy. Look back at the text. Let's look at verses 6 through 8. I love verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. When I think about what God is doing, it produces joy. Be encouraged. God loves you. And sometimes I feel like I'm never going to change. There are certain struggles in life that you face that you feel like, why can't I get over this? What is wrong with me? And there are things in your life, I don't know if you're the same as me, maybe you don't feel that way. But I come to those times in my life and I'm just thinking, what's wrong? But wait, God has promised that he will fulfill, he will complete that work in you. One of my big struggles is becoming impatient. I get impatient about things when I want it to happen. I'm sort of I like things to happen quickly. I don't like to sit on it. And God has taught me so much about that in Palau, because I'm not geared to just sit back. I like to keep moving. I think it's Zimmer blood. And I don't know, I mean, if you know my brothers, maybe you would agree with me on that. But I quickly can get frustrated and then try to get it done. Do you know what I mean by get it done? Which is interpreted, plow over anybody in the way and get it done. And that's bad. And sad to say, those that are closest to me have experienced this. I don't like this about myself. I've hurt them in the past. I've pushed right over their desires because I wanted it to get done. And you know what that's called? It's called sin. It's impatience. And I hate that about me. I want that to change. But you know what I do? I hold on to the promise of Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that He, Jesus, who began that good work in me, will complete it. Not might, but will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, guys and girls that are here as students, I know you can relate with me. You've been walking with God, you're trying to live for God, and there are things that come out of your life when you're in a close quarter with people, and you see it about yourself, and you don't like it. Those that are married here, you know this about yourself. Marriage is a great magnifying glass that reveals those things inside of you that need to change. And I know you can relate with me, but this is exactly what Paul is talking about, that God is going to finish it. You say, well, you mean the big, huge list of things I've got to get done today? I can just sit back and trust God? I mean, I'm sitting in traffic, I'm standing in line at the post office, and it seems like forever. And you mean that God is going to use this in my life? I don't understand that. God's going to use these things that in my life that I'm so frustrated with? Yeah, that's what this is teaching. He is going to, think with me, Romans 8, 28 and 29. You know that passage. For we know that all things work together for good to those that love God. And then it goes on in verse 29, it says that we be conformed to the image of Jesus. In my other Bible, the Palauan Bible, I circled we know, and then I drew a line down to being conformed, Eloi Jesus, that we be conformed like Jesus. Because that is exactly what God is doing in those times in your life. He's making you more like Jesus. Every time you get a bill that's bigger than you can handle, God is at work making you more like Jesus. Every time you're faced with a health problem or someone you love is in a health problem, God is at work. Every time I go through a change in my life, a big change, and it's making me nervous and uncomfortable and I lose sleep, God is at work. Every conflict I face with people, God is at work. It's not easy. It's not immediately. You don't come to God and say, Lord, help me with my anger, and boom, your anger's gone. It doesn't happen that way. Little by little, God changes us. You know, back to verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun, and that word begun, and the word he used at the end there of complete, was a word that they used in the Gentile sacrificial system. These people knew what he was talking about. It was sort of like the completion of the offering that was being made. It was the final part of that offering. It was complete. It was finished. And what God is saying is he's going to finish that work to perfection. Jesus started this work in you, or he began this work in your child, or in your student, as teachers, as you see this student that nags and causes you to feel that impatience. Jesus is going to complete that work. Doesn't that bring joy when you can think about that, what he is doing? He's making you more like Jesus. So look back at what he has done. Look at what he is doing. He's making you more like Jesus. And then the third one, when I think about what God will do, it will produce joy. Look at verses 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. The Bible's teaching that if your love is rooted and growing out of your knowledge of God and his word, this process actually becomes a promise to you. What is going on in these words here, this prayer actually becomes a promise that God is going to produce this in you. Notice it starts with love. He said that, I pray that your love may abound still more and more. How? By having knowledge from the Word and then through His Word. It's learning how to choose right from wrong. And it's so good because once you start to make choices right, it produces the next thing in your life. But I can tell you, if I make wrong choices, if I'm not mature in the Lord and I make choices that are not godly, guess what is immediately gone? Love. Immediately. And it shows up almost immediately in my the relationships with those that are closest to me. It's a process that affects people closest to me because it's a natural outpouring. God is at work in us. And you see, we've got to understand, back in verse 9, Paul says, I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. As you read your word, as you read the word, as you grow in the Lord, that love is going to continue to grow. You say, well, what about my problem with being impatient? If I'm living my life focused on God and His Word, He will produce in me love for others, and it will help my patience to grow. You see how it works? It's love that will change my problem with being impatient. And that love comes out of my walk with God. So as I spend time with God, these words become a promise to me. It's a beautiful thing. Try something this week. Read God's word every day. Okay? Every day. But don't just stop there. Whenever you find something that God loves, circle it. And then ask God to help you love the things that He loves. And watch what happens. When little Mylia was born, both Kevin and Misty, I'm sure, I wasn't here, so I didn't see, but I'm sure they were so happy, full of joy in their life. And when they brought their precious little baby home and their family gathered around, and they're so happy, and Pastor Heron didn't hold the baby and say, "Why aren't you walking yet?" Of course not. That's a baby. Babies don't walk when they're first born. We understand it's a process to learn how to walk. But you know what? Soon, little Mylia is going to take her first step. We can be sure of that. And everybody will do what when she takes her first step? They're going to cheer. They may even have a video camera and see it. And it'll be exciting. No one is going to be standing there and say, "Why did you fall down? Get up, you lazy little girl." No, that's crazy talk. We cheer when the baby takes a first step, even though they fall down. Why? Because that's a baby. We understand it's a process for that little baby to learn how to walk. Now listen, I want you to understand this about you and about those that are around you. God is at work in you. And you're growing at a different pace than the person next to you. And some people here have been walking with God for years, so they don't fall down as hard and as much, but they still fall down. And others of you, maybe you're just coming in, you've just recently come to know Jesus. And so you take a step and boom, you fall down. Now listen, don't kick the guy. Hey, get up, you good for nothing. And you're yelling at, no, cheer him on. Pick him up, shake him off, clean his wound and help him keep moving. Because little by little, God is changing us. That's the hope of what Paul is saying here. It's a process. And I love that. When I learn to look back at what God has done, and I look at what God is doing right now, and then as I think about what God will do, it produces joy. That's one of the secrets that really has helped me so much through the difficulties in my life. And I want to encourage you, don't get caught staring at these big waves and panicking. Go to God, the one who knows how to navigate everything you will ever face. And then look back at what he has done in your life. Look at what he is doing. He's making you more like Jesus through this time. And then look at the promise of what he's going to do in you. He is going to make you into this person that is filled with the fruits of righteousness to the glory and praise of God. I love that. It's a hope that we have. It's a promise that we have if we are in the Word. So please, as you continue on walking with God, learn this little secret if you haven't already. I know many of you, this is sort of a review and it's an encouragement to you. Others of you, maybe this is something new. It's a secret of the Christian life. Learn to go to God instead of trying to hold on. If you hold on and try to do it yourself, it produces fear and misery. But if you run to God and you trust Him, it produces joy.
You've been listening to Harvest Echoes and a message titled Trusting God from Pastor John Zimmer. It was originally presented in August of 2012 at Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Harvest Echoes provides you access to a rich archive of sermons and lessons presented at conferences and special meetings at Harvest Baptist Church. Send us a comment or question by visiting our website, hbcguam.net, hbcguam.net. And thank you for listening to Harvest Echoes.